Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. Just a few minutes ago, we heard writer Chris Guillebeau talking about the three-part equation that leads to a rewarding life's work: joy, flow, and money. He talked about all three, but we're going to focus for a while on the joy, because it's hard to miss it in the music of Birds of Chicago.
The term that sometimes gets used to describe that music is secular gospel, but there's really a lot more in evidence from the music cooked up by husband and wife J.T. Nero and Allison Russell. They came together in Chicago from different parts of the continent and different musical projects and pulled together a band that is both figuratively and literally family.
Here they are in the Lake Effect Performance Studio with the song Dim Star of the Palisades.
Birds of Chicago, Dim Star of the Palisades. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Well, welcome to the show. Welcome to Milwaukee, even though I gather you are honorary Milwaukeeans already.
We are honorary
We're
Milwaukeeans.
We're working towards that status.
Yeah, we are. Well, our JT's parents live here half the year and half the year on Washington Island. And our daughter was actually born in Mequon, so she's a true Wisconsinite.
Before we get any further, I said Birds of Chicago, but I should have you each introduce yourself. Tell us who you are and what you're doing.
Well, my name is Allison Russell, and I am playing the banjo, and I will play some clarinet in a little bit, and I sing as well.
I'm JT Nero, and I'm burning away on this guitar, and I'm singing.
I'm Chris Merrill. I'm playing bass guitar.
Allie, you were whistling in that song, and I've always wanted to ask this question of a musician. Is it hard to learn to whistle for the record?
I like whistling. I've always whistled. I think some people struggle with it more than others. It's been a source of, maybe one of the only sources of conflict in my relationship with JT, is that he has trouble whistling, and it really kind of annoys him.
Well, it's a lot of pressure to put on blowing air through.
Yeah. This was actually not natural talent
on my part. I had to actually work really hard to get to the place where I am now. It's a nice tone. It's a...
It's beautiful.
It's wispy.
It's different. It's like hard to compare my style and Allie's.
That's right. Apples and oranges.
But they're both obviously...
What key were you in? I was trying to figure that out.
But my grandma was a whistler, and I just like whistling. But honestly, the reason I was whistling today is because our wonderful keyboard player and accordion player, Drew Lindsay, who is also my brother-in-law, is ill, and so that's why he's not with us today. So I was whistling in approximation of what he does.
Well, it was an excellent pinch hitting appearance by the whistling.
Thank you.
We're talking in the middle of April, which is actually National Poetry Month, and yeah. I'm curious where you all come down on the question of whether song lyrics are poetry.
JT, you want to field this one?
On a good day, yeah, they are. It's part of the problem with modern poetry with a capital P is a kind of self-consciousness, I think. So, and not to say that songwriting can't be as well, but having written both, you know, poems to not be sung and poetry to be sung, there's something more populist and unashamed of the desire to make a connection in songwriting. And that's what always draws me to it. But sure, it's poetry.
Do you feel like, though, that a song is more than just a soundtrack to a poem?
Yes, ideally. you know, I do think that there is a relationship between our language in its like basic form of, you know, consonant and vowel sounds and melody. And that's a big part of the way I write songs is, you know, it usually starts with, it's funny, I heard an interview with Jeff Tweedy recently, and he referred to them as mumble tracks, and he'll have a guitar part and a melody that won't be connected to actual words, but it'll be sounds. And I'm the same way. They'll be like e, a, d, na, la, la. And whatever words eventually emerge, I try to keep those original consonant and vowel sounds there because I do think there's some sort of weird connection. You know, there's a reason, there's kind of an emotional logic to it. So, you know, that's one of the things that makes, again, songwriting different than prose or poetry, is that kind of mystical connection.
Maybe this is oversimplifying it, but does the melody come to you before the stuff that comes with it?
For me, more often than not, yeah. And in fact, that's sort of a difference, I think, between, it's a way that I'm happier writing songs now and it feels more organic. You know, I think when I was younger, I would write a poem. You know, like I'd have like an idea that I wanted to execute and then I'd write the poem and then I'd figure out how to hammer it into a song. And now the relationship between the music and the sounds that will become the language is there from the start, and that feels a little more satisfying.
But when you add to it the fact that a lot of the words are going to be coming out of someone else's mouth, does that complicate the process?
I think maybe theoretically it could, but for me and my relationship with Allie and writing, I mean, Allie is a hell of a songwriter in her own right, and anybody who knows her work with her previous band, Poe Girl, or her other band, knows that, but she spits them out a lot slower than I do. I tend to pile them up, and a big part of the start of this project was, as you say, was me writing for her voice, and you know, she's just one of my favorite voices, and the more we sang together, the more I kind of internalized what I feel like is her voice and her perspective to some degree, and so songs more often than not kind of pop out that way. You know, I hear Allie singing them from the get-go.
Well, I want to hear more of that voice. What else might you play for us?
I'm going to do a song called Real Midnight right now.
Which is the title track of our new record. We were so fortunate we got to work with one of our musical heroes. Joe Henry produced the album, and we've been fans of his for a long time, both with the work that he's produced and the work that he writes and the albums that he puts out into the world. So it was a real treat working with him. And this is the title track of the new record.
Real midnight's gonna come, real midnight's gonna come, real wolves at your door, blood on the stones. Now what are you gonna do with your days left in the sun? Hide or lie? Are you cruel to the one who loves you because you're tired and you're scared, it's easily done. And who's standing there when the anger comes and darkens your eyes? Give me those tender kisses. Kiss my shoulders, kiss my eyes. Don't make me feel bad. Why would you do that? Why? Lift me up, lift me up, lift me up, lift me up. Don't cut, don't cut, don't cut, don't cut. I know you love me. Why would you cut me? Don't cut, don't cut, don't
my shoulders, kiss my eyes. Don't make me feel bad. Why would you do that? Why? Lift me up, lift me up, lift me up, lift me up. Don't cut, don't cut, don't cut, don't cut. I know you love me. Why would you cut me? Don't cut. Don't cut, don't cut, don't cut me down. Hey, yeah. Real midnight's gonna come, but yeah, that's alright. We will be as the stars and put holes in the night. 10,000 years, they'll see our love shine when they're lying on the banks, looking up through the
Birds of Chicago playing in the Lake Effect Performance Studio. Thank you again so much.
Oh, thank you so much, Mitch, for having us, Mitch. It's a pleasure to be here.
You mentioned that Joe Henry worked on this album with you. What did he see or hear, do you think, that you otherwise wouldn't have seen or heard in yourselves that he brought to this record?
You know, I think with Joe, it's more of rather than excavating things that you didn't necessarily know you had or he didn't. I think his whole thing is about removing the impediments that we sort of construct ourselves in the studio environment. You know, there's a reason why so many people's albums, you know, you'll see them live and you're tapped into a certain kind of just joy. And but then when you hear the record, some of that is just mysteriously, or not so mysteriously, gone. It's actually not very mysterious. It can be a very stressful thing. You're in there with limited money, and you know
it's a lot of pressure to put on.
Everything counts, and
the recording.
So it's pretty easy for that joy to go out the window. And Joe's whole thing is to create an atmosphere where there's just no way that you won't be able to always kind of get back to the essential. You know, the reason why you play music, the reason why you wrote that particular song in the first place. And it's much harder to do than to say. There's a reason why, you know, everybody wants to get to that place.
Yeah.
But Joe, with kind of the force of his spirit and personality, and the people he surrounded himself with.
His team is incredible. They kind of have a telepathy within their group, which comes from years of working together and trust and all the things that you don't have to say. And, you know, we have that within our core group with Chris Merrill, who's playing bass today, and Drew Lindsay, Dan Abuabsi, Michelle McGrath, Nick Chambers, everyone that was involved in the record. So
Do you feel like, I mean, and I don't know whether you're able even to sit down and listen to this as a disc and remove yourself from everything that went into
right.
it, but when you do,
you kidding
you
me?
Do,
it's all we listen to.
That's not true.
What you were listening to when you got pulled over?
No. I was listening to Luther Dickinson's new record, Blues and Ballads, Songwriters Songbook, Volumes 1 and 2, which is amazing.
I interrupted you. No,
that's okay. I'm just wondering, you know, what you think when you sit and actually listen to the finished product.
You know what's interesting, partially touching on what Jer was saying about how Joe kind of creates this atmosphere of spontaneity and naturalness, for lack of a better word, in the studio. Part of that was he very specifically, the one instruction he gave us was, I don't want you over rehearsing these songs. I want these songs to be kind of almost on the edge of, do we know this song? Because then everyone's listening and everyone's communicating. And he wanted to capture that moment when the song really coalesces and it's fresh and new, but really together for the first time. And because of that, and because we tracked all the songs for the record in 4.5 days. So listening back, and Ryan Freeland, the engineer, is such a genius that it was almost like he was mixing as we were recording it. And we could all see each other as we recorded. It was very much sort of almost recorded live. I mean, recorded live, really.
It was recorded live, yeah.
And because of that, listening back has been, for me, more of a pleasure than any other recording experience that I've been privy to. Each song we maybe did maximum 3 takes. We weren't beating these tunes to death, which is what often happens in the studio.
And when I hear the record, I hear that relaxation and that deep happiness.
If I understand it right, I mean, you're doing the bulk of the songwriting these days, JT. There are a lot of songwriters who write work inspired by their partners in life, but their partners don't always get to be the ones that sing those songs.
That's right.
How do the two of you handle the intersection between the personal and the musical relationship?
You need to sequester us and get our answers separately.
Right.
See how they match up. Allie, why don't you knock this one out of the park?
I think that for us it was a natural progression because the music came first and the friendship came first. The romance kind of blossomed out of that down the line. And for us,
Did you worry the music could suffer?
We were very worried about that initially. And in fact, we were hesitant to be sort of serious with each other as a couple because of that. We were so afraid of messing up the musical connection and the friendship, because in some ways those things are more rare than than romantic connections. And so we were quite afraid of messing it up. But it just sort of, you know, at a certain point you stop pushing the river, and it's been really great. But it can be for sure challenging to, you know, because we are more wedded and were more wedded even before we were lawfully so than many couples. We spend the vast majority of our time together, like an unbelievable amount of time together in a small van, driving around.
You should ask Chris how it feels to be married to
us. Chris, how he feels about
it. Check you get to be as a bass player and not being related.
No, it's all good. It's all family. It's a good ride.
Chris is.
Great answer.
I actually wrote that answer out for him.
It's nice that you're wearing the referee's jersey while you're
all
scripted.
It's all good. It's all family. Pause.
Wait for laughter.
My wife is on tour with us as well. She's our tour manager, and she watches JT and Allie's baby while we're on stage. So. It really is.
And you know, from our standpoint, we, you know, there's just no question we couldn't do it if we didn't have it that way. I mean, we have a 2-year-old who's been on the road since she was 4 weeks old. So, and Chris and Susie have been, you know, with her for every bit of it. And you know, the life on the road is, it's a different life, but there's a continuity to it as well. And she's, you know,
and a structure to it.
And there's a structure. And she, you know, she knows when we get on stage every night, she's going to her Aunt Susie, and that's what happens every single night. So it's a very lucky thing.
And convenient for those of us in Milwaukee that she has grandparents here, so we'll get
yes.
to see you guys again.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Yes, yes. We have been spending more and more time in Milwaukee, that's for sure. And
we love Milwaukee.
Her uncle, Drew, who couldn't make it in
our
today.
He
teaches at MIAD here. I teach his creative writing at MIAD. And so, yeah, he's a big part of the community here.
Well, Allie, JT, Chris, I hope we'll see all of you again real soon. And thank you. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much for having us.
And what are you going to take us out with?
We will leave you with a tune called Remember Wild Horses.
First daughter of a knight of Columbus, friends of moonbeams, painters' brushes. There was not a single one among us who thought she'd be alone. Now she loves her nieces and all her nephews, green teeth, and the good view with the butterfly weeds and the cone flowers out back behind her home. Hey, remember wild horses running up with the morning in their eyes, ears pinned back on free land under free blue skies. You don't have to wipe away tears, go on and let them fall. You're just remembering wild horses is all.
Down at the world away, I saw a nobody kinda laughing in his beer. I said, man, what's so funny? Looked up at me like he wanted to punch me. He said, nothing's funny, not a damn thing's funny. I loved her so long, I believed that she loved me. I promised her, she promised me. Hey, remember wild horses running all with the morning in their eyes, ears pinned back on the free land under free blue skies. You don't have to wipe away your tears, go on and let them fall. You're just remembering wild horses is all.
Body played tricks, would not be long till it flat out quit. Chopsticks in a bag of old leather,
loaded his room with a ghost of past summers. He can't see her now, he can't see her now. Sunlight through a camisole, one hand over her eye to block the sun, waiting by the window for only one. Remember wild horses running all with the morning in their eyes, ears pinned back on free land under free blue skies. You don't have to wipe away your tears, go on and let them fall. You're just remembering wild horses is all. Remember wild horses running all with the morning in their eyes, ears pinned back on a free land on a free blue skies. You don't have to wipe away your tears, go on and let them fall. You're just remembering wild horses is all. You're just remembering.